Well, the House of Representatives begins the public phase of its impeachment inquiry on Wednesday as the Intelligence Committee opens its open proceedings. Members of Congress are sharply divided on both the reasons behind the hearings and the specific way they're being conducted. 9th District Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith joins Evan Jones and me live this morning. We'll talk about that and other matters before Congress and Richmond. Congressman Griffith, good to see you again. How are you?
Good to see you. Good to be with you this morning.
Yes, sir. We appreciate it. As we get started, Congressman, you've been sharply critical of the entire process from the start, calling it a sham. Well, now that it's moving into a public phase, is it no longer a sham?
No, it's still pretty much a sham. I mean, there's no ability to cross-examine witnesses on the part of the president. The Republicans can't call witnesses without permission from Adam Schiff. These are not the way that the justice system normally works. And even in a non-criminal matter, you have a right to ask questions that you want to ask. You have a right to make sure that counsel is there to represent the person who's being accused of something, in this case, the president. And you have a right to call the witness that you want. Relevance can be very minor. As long as there's some relevance to the witness, normally in a court proceeding, they're allowed to testify, and then the trier of fact, the American people or the United States Senate, gets to decide how much weight to put on the various testimonies. But they're going to rely a lot on the depositions that were already taken. I'm trying to get through those. I've gotten through two of about eight. But one was the hearing itself took 7 hours. And just to try to wade through all of that after the fact is tough. And I often make the analogy that only older folks will get, but that it's kind of like if you ever saw the movie My Cousin Vinny. If you just see the cold words on a page, they may not be exactly what happened. So the boys go in and they steal some donuts from a convenience store. That's the beginning of the movie. And then somebody else comes in after him and shoots the clerk and kills him. So then the police arrest these young teenagers because they were seen peeling off in their car leaving the station. And they say to him, "Why did you shoot the clerk?" And in a state of excited utterance, the young man jumps back in his chair. You can just see the shock on his face. He says, "I shot the clerk. I shot the clerk," meaning, "What are you talking about?" But when it goes to trial and you're just reading it off the printed page, "I shot the clerk." It's an admission. So it's very hard for the American people to judge the depositions where they're not bringing them back in and having them testify live, which is why I think it was important. And Mark Warner said the same thing here on this show. You know, once they get to this public phase, they need to bring the major witnesses back. If they had something significant, bring them back so that I, as a member of Congress and the American people, can make a decision as to what are they actually saying, as opposed to just trying to read it on a printed word. Plus that one hearing I was talking about, Yushchenko, the former ambassador, her hearing went on for 7 hours. That's an awful lot of time. And we've got like 8 of those to get through where they're extremely large periods of time. And as a member trying to keep up, very difficult to do that when all of that's already happened and they released them all after, I believe they were released after Tuesday. Maybe they started on Tuesday of last week. So it's very hard for members of Congress to keep up, but we're expected to vote on this fairly soon, before Christmas, they say. I will get through it, but it's just the process is set up for politics. And the whole thing seems to me they've taken a little of something that doesn't seem like a big deal and they've whipped it up kind of like cotton candy. You take a little bit of sugar and suddenly you got a poof, a big thing. This is not a big deal. The president was just responding to allegations made against him, investigations made against him, and said, "Hey, look and see if the server's there." That's the favor that was asked for. See if the DNC server is somewhere in Ukraine. And then later in the conversation, talking about corruption and how they want the new president to ferret out corruption. Everybody agrees the new president came in to ferret out corruption. He says, "Hey, by the way, they fired this prosecutor. Maybe you should look into what he was investigating, if possible." You know, the Democrats keep saying, "Oh, he asked him to dig up dirt on an opponent." No, he asked him to see if there was something there. If the dirt is there, that's a problem. And we need to know it as the American people, because Joe Biden showed up in Ukraine and said he was going to take $1 billion if they didn't fire the prosecutor who was investigating his son. I don't know if that prosecutor is a bad guy or not. I don't know if there's anything there, but what I do know is the American government under one administration stopped an investigation. It's absolutely appropriate for the next administration to say, "Find out whatever you want." They didn't say dig up dirt. He said, "Find out whatever's out there, if possible." I think that's perfectly permissible and absolutely what a president of the United States should have done in light of the fact that because Joe Biden was involved in a case involving his son, it creates the appearance of impropriety and it has a bad smell to it. And that means somebody ought to investigate it, may come out completely clean. There's all kinds of questions about that prosecutor. But the American people need to know, and the President of the United States was right to ask him to at least take a look at it. When you have somebody who wants to ferret out corruption in Ukraine, let's make sure that we don't have American corruption in Ukraine.
We are speaking with 9th District Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith. And in the 9 years that I've known you as Congressman, I've never seen you, to me, worked up as much about this as any matter I've ever seen. And with that in mind, you're not a member of the House Intelligence Committee. Would you like to be at this point?
Well, I think we need to have it open for everybody to see. But it is interesting because normally these types of investigations are done by the Judiciary Committee, and they shifted it into Intel in order to put a lot of non-classified material into the SCIF. That's where you go to see classified material. And they've put it in there, and they've given it all over to Adam Schiff when it should actually be the Judiciary Committee or Nadler or, you know, even a select committee. But somebody that normally would investigate these things, and normally that would be the Judiciary Committee. So if you'd asked me, would I have liked to have been on the Judiciary Committee when I first got there and so forth, the answer would have been yes, absolutely. But they've taken all that power away from the Judiciary Committee, where you have people who understand what due process really means. Adam Schiff does not.
That's something Ben Klein said, too, your colleague from the 6th District, who is a member of that committee. Mm-hmm. And he has said pretty clearly in his view it should be before his committee. Now, regardless of where one stands politically, have we entered an era where one party will perennially seek removal of the other party's president?
Unfortunately, if this goes forward, and I believe it will go forward, unfortunately, we may be there. And let's take, you know, if we're doing what ifs, let's take a look at this. They're claiming that the president asked the Ukrainian government to do something that might affect, that they claim might affect an election. If Joe Biden were to be elected president, he's already admitted that he did something to influence the Ukraine and what they're doing that is having an impact on an election. Is he not, under the Democrats' new definition of what's impeachable, is he not automatically impeachable should he be elected president? I submit to you, based on their test, he is. And it's why, you know, I've been very frustrated. There's no fairness. There's no let's make sure that we judge people on the same set of rules. Because if the Democrats were judging people on the same set of rules, as I said the last time I was here, they would have called for Joe Biden to drop out of this race. He admitted to putting $1 billion of taxpayer money on the table and saying you've got 6 hours to fire a prosecutor who just happened to be investigating his son. To fire that prosecutor, I'm taking this money home. He is clearly disqualified if you accept their definition of what's right and wrong. I really believe what's going on here is they hate the president. They don't like his policies. He is, in fact, doing a lot of good things for America. They don't like the fact that he's going to get credit for it, and they want him gone. And as a result of that, they're taking what really would normally be seen as standard fare in the world of diplomacy and international politics and blowing it into a huge deal that they think is equal to high crimes and misdemeanors.
All righty, it's 8:53 at WFIR. We are speaking with 9th District Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith. This one, I'm going to switch gears a little bit, Congressman, talk about Richmond. You are a longtime member, of course, of the Virginia General Assembly, former House Majority Leader. Congressman, would you have thought just a few years ago that was once such a huge Republican House majority would be so dramatically reversed in such a short period of time?
Well, I didn't think it would collapse this quickly. You know, look, it is a proper ebb and flow of politics that one party gets control and then another gets control. Democrats had control for almost 120 years from 1883 to the year 2000, and we came in. 20 years, you know, I would have expected it maybe to go on 24, 26. I expected some reductions, but nothing quite this big. We'll see if the people of Virginia are happy. I think the Democrats are going to do a lot of things that, particularly in the House, that will make Virginia voters second-guess themselves, and we'll see what happens in a few years. But I would not have expected this quick a collapse.
There are very few representatives from the Roanoke area now in the majority party in the General Assembly. Offhand, I can think of Senator John Edwards and delegates Sam Rasul and Chris Hurst. Not a lot. There may be some others, but I think that's it. With that in mind, even though they're now members of the majority party, does that sort of isolate in place this region to some extent as political islands, if you will, in Richmond?
Well, I don't know that that does. What has really hurt us as a region is the fact that Fairfax, Loudoun, and those areas have been growing so fast. And under the principles of one man, one vote, or one person, one vote, is right under our Constitution. They have been getting, you know, more and more delegates, and so it's been harder and harder to fight. And so it's been good that we've had a lot of strong Republican leaders from this area. I look to John and to Sam Rasul to step up to the plate and make sure our region is protected. But it's very difficult, even for them. I'm not going to put too much burden on them, because when from here to the end of Southwest Virginia can be outvoted by Fairfax County alone, makes it very difficult to get things done in the General Assembly. I do think you're going to see some actions, though. If they don't take action on education and trying to help build schools in the poor areas of the state, not just Southwest Virginia, but Eastern Shore and some others, I think you're going to see some legal action again that indicates that, you know, the state's not living up to its constitutional requirements to take care of all the parts of the state in at least a reasonable manner.
Congressman Morgan Griffith is with us. He is a former member of the General Assembly, a former House Majority Leader. Almost all the leadership in both houses are going to be from Northern Virginia. Does that hurt our area?
Well, it certainly makes a difference. There's no question about that. Historically, having somebody from your area with leadership makes a difference. People may note that we have the Salem Division of the State Police and the Salem Division of VDOT. Why is that? Well, because in the 1930s, the Speaker of the House was from Salem. And when they rearranged all of that, he said, it's not going to be the Roanoke District, it's going to be the Salem District. And that's why VDOT and State Police are both in Salem.
Let's turn our attention to today. This is Veterans Day. You're heading here to a ceremony, an event in Galax. Why are these important to you, and what will you say?
Well, I will talk about making sure that we pass on to our children the respect and the knowledge of what has happened in the past and how important our veterans are. You know, we often remember those who died in battle, and that's very important, too. We have Memorial Day for that. But we also need to remember the people who made sure that they had the supplies, the people who were there fighting alongside of them, who fortunately, for whatever reason, only God knows, you know, the bullet didn't hit them. I'll talk about Talmadge Say of Martinsville, who I had an opportunity to meet. And I'll talk about Bob Slaughter, of course, here from Roanoke. And I'll throw in Mr. Britz, who was a client of mine, who was really responsible in the United States for gathering together supplies and making sure they got to the European theater. These are things that people need to remember and know how important everybody who serves in our military, whether they're working on the supply charts or on the front lines, how important they are to making sure that our country remains free. And while we have our battles in Washington, like over impeachment, we need to make sure that we keep our republic going based on democratic principles and that we continue to be a free and independent country.
All righty, 858 9th District Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith's been in studio with us this morning. And Congressman, good to see you again. Thank you for being here.
Always good to be here. Thank you.